Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, which featured this afternoon Charlie Baker.
Yeah.
Because he was with the Cambridge fans. Cambridge. I knew it was one of those university towns. One of the Oxford fans watching the West Ham game last night.
It was an eyewitness report. Very useful.
We spoke to the guys at Whitehawk FC, who they entertained Jeremy Corbyn. We'll find out whether Jeremy could have been a pro footballer.
Yeah.
And what else?
And
you've forgotten the other thing, haven't you?
Brilliant, isn't it?
Let's look at the producer. You can tell us. What was the third thing we said we're going to put in the podcast? Matt Ford. He was on great form. Stick around for Matt Ford. He tells a brilliant Brian Clough story.
Very good form.
So, and we had a chat. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And Seb Coe says they don't have to consider, they have to consider the welfare of the athletes. Very, very important. Well, don't hold the World Championships in Doha then. that might be a better idea.
As we'll discover later on, the actual stadium itself is going to be 40 degrees outside, but it's 25 degrees inside the stadium. It's air conditioned.
That's very ecological, isn't it? I'm sure Greta Thunberg will be there. It's tremendous.
She won't be at the opening ceremony, old Greta.
That's such a waste of money.
But outside, of course, it's a different problem, which is why the marathon will be taking place at midnight, because it's hot. And we'll be chatting to Matt Lawton, who's out there for the Times a little bit later on, just to get a bit of a sense of that. I imagine he's in an Airtex vest.
I think he is. And Michael Gove has compared Prime Minister Boris Johnson to Pep Guardiola. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did see that, Andy, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say more like Frank de Boer at Palace myself, but there you go.
No, bit of political satire.
Political satire, there you go.
Get yourself into trouble, Andy, will you?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Going to last night's game.
We are talking about Jeremy Corbyn's football prowess.
Yes, exactly. Or maybe we're very even-handed on this show. We're not political.
Yeah,
yeah. Matt Ford will be political.
Oh, yeah, well, he's incredibly political. Yeah, of course.
I saw a little bit of the Chelsea. I saw the goals and everything. And, of course, it's great, isn't it, to see these young players and all that. But did you see Grimsby's goal? It was a good finish.
Yeah.
Goodness, Chelsea's defending.
You're not going to rip the defence. You've won 7-1.
No, but you can't. You can't give a goal away from a goal kick. And then Grimsby realised.
Like Chris Wilder,
they realised, Grimsby, that every time they had a goal kick, everybody went up, and the keeper was able to reach the penalty area, and it was a problem.
It was 2-0 at that point. I saw they equalised, so they got one back.
It could have been 2-2. They had a couple of chances, and then they gave away a stupid penalty. It was ridiculous, and after that, Chelsea played well.
Right.
It was interesting to hear Frank Lampard give Hudson-Odoi a bit of a serve. You know, I quite like that, really, because now he's signed a contract. Yeah. But no, he had a point. I mean, he's a wonderful...
A bit tight. I mean, it was his first game for about 6 months, wasn't it? First game back
after an injury. He didn't take orders. You know, he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and I think they were a bit angry about it.
Pulisic, apparently. I mean, this is maybe a bit of an indication of why Frank... He's not starting him at the moment.
No, this is it. You know, and the thing is, Hudson-Odoi is a cut above Pulisic. I mean, he's definitely, you know, him and Reece James, I think, definitely the real deal. Facebook have spent £800 million on a company that produces wristbands that can tell you what you want to do before you do it. I'm wearing one right now, actually. It's told me to delete my Facebook page.
Really?
Yeah.
Something that tells you what you want to do before you do it.
Yeah, it reads your brain signals and sends a signal to your wrist, and then you automatically do it.
Wow.
I know, it's quite worrying, isn't it? That's definitely the sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah. Years ago, I used to work for this music magazine, and we did this, because it sounds a bit like an April Fool, you know, something you think of something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we came up with this, it was at the time when there was a kind of lots of sampling was taking off in the world of music. And there was this kind of, they came up with this thing called, I think it was called the Zlatna Panega, which I think might mean fish restaurant in Serbo-Croat.
Didn't he play for Sevilla?
Yeah. and we said it was a keyboard, and you put two little kind of... little bits of what do you call
electrodes?
Electrodes on your head, and thought of any sound, and as soon as you thought of that sound, you could play it through the keyboard.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
So we come up with this April Fool, and the guys on the magazine did this full review of the science behind, made up some boffin who'd come up with it. And honestly, people went for it.
I know.
People completely
bought
into it.
I could see Alan at the keyboard playing manning.
Yeah, manning. Well, I mean, you know, there's ways of. This was the very early days of sampling. I think then, as old Rick Wakeman would tell you, there was tape spewing everywhere from Mellotrons at that point.
But
some bloke got very upset. Some guy in the Far East who wanted to order some for his shop. And when we told him, he had no concept of the art of the April Fool.
Oh, dear.
He'd sort of phoned us from Taiwan. Really? He was very upset.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't know. I bring that up because it sounds, anybody who says, you think of something and, you know.
Then you do it. Yeah, it does sound a bit
nonsense,
much. But yeah, so there we go. And Ali Ross, our old mate from The Sun, excellent TV columnist, he's very excited about Billy Gilmore, this young player for Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's Scottish.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's already sort of in the Scottish national team. So I said, yeah, he's really got prospects. He looks, to me, he's a little bit lightweight for full men's football at the moment, but I think he's going to be a really good player, and he's got lovely skills, and no question about it. I said, but the one I like, really, is Callum Hudson-Odoi. I said, but sadly, he's not Scottish.
Yeah.
I said, although he might be related to Hudson from upstairs, downstairs, or whatever.
Yeah.
He said, well, Callum, that's a Scottish first name.
Yeah, that's true. They might be trying. Steve Clark may be on the phone.
You never know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. From TalkSport.
Now, it's a bit of a staple, isn't it, around party conferences that you have to have some lighter photo opportunities. And over the years, really, the politician having a kick.
Politicians in suits playing football.
Yeah.
That could be on Netflix.
It could be, yeah, getting coffee. It could be like one of those. You could upset Jerry Seinfeld with that idea. But, I mean, there was the infamous one, wasn't there? The heading practice between Tony Blair and Kevin Keegan back in the day.
I remember David Mellor.
David Mellor, you're trying to stick one in the, top bin and all that. But Jeremy Corbyn's turn yesterday, and the lucky recipients were White Hawk FC down in Brighton. Andy Schofield joins us now, the vice chairman of the club. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Paul.
Were you happy to accommodate Jeremy Corbyn for a bit of a kickabout?
Yeah, we were. We had an open trial at the start of the season. He wasn't able to make that. We're a bit shocked that the media found out because, it was a very hush-hush.
It was one of those behind closed doors against trialists, was it?
Yeah. It was, absolutely, it was, yes. And, we put him through his paces. We're studying the footage at the moment. We're having a good look at him, because we have got a bit of a... We've had two relegations in two seasons. We were in National League South and we dropped down to Betvictor South East now. So, we have got a bit of a gap for somebody in the number 10 role in the whole...
He could be like your Raquel, mate. You need experienced players like that. Kind of an old head just with the young lads around him to do his running for him.
Yeah,
that could work.
You're quite right. You've obviously done your research on us. Yes, absolutely. We've got some very good young players. We have. We've got a good youth team coming through into the first team. They're probably the youngest manager. I think we had coverage earlier in the season. They're probably the youngest manager in the FA Cup this year.
Oh, right.
He's only 31, yeah. So old head, yes, that's what we're looking for.
That's good. How does something like this come about? Presumably somebody from the Labour Party says, look, we want to do a photo opportunity with...
No, there was another reason. Work you do as a club, isn't it? The food bank, yeah.
Yeah, we run the trial into the real reason, which was the what we do for families and the community. And that's what the club's really known for. And this part of Brighton, I mean, it's funny you mentioned the Tony Blair heading incident. That was at a school just up the hill behind the ground. So, it's East Brighton. It's White Hawk, is a suburb of East Brighton. And the club were involved in a match during the Pride Festival this year, which got a lot of national publicity. We had an LGBT 11 against a team of old Manchester United has-beens, actually. I'd say that as a City fan. Paul Walsh was there, though. He's an ex-Blue, so we were pleased to see him, and he scored. So we do a lot of those sorts of things and we collected a lot of... we have regular collections for the local White Hawk Food Bank, and our White Hawk Ultras are are very activist as fans, and we have a very strong no sexism, no racism, no violence, no homophobia, no swearing on the terraces, actually. Instead of the referees are what's it? The referee's a referee. I mean, the worst, actually, we've had is the referee's a Tory.
Is that hard to enforce?
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I mean, in the heat of the moment, Andy, even you must put a couple of quid in the swear box.
They are pretty good, those ultras behind that goal. You know, we lost on Saturday. We had a defeat on Saturday, a surprising defeat, actually, to a team we never heard of, who first time they'd ever come to see us, Phoenix Sports. And their keeper, instead of giving the keeper a lot of jit, the keeper ends up shaking hands with all our fans at the end of the game. I mean, and that would happen whether we won or lose. So the ultras are pretty special. So, and they do create a special atmosphere.
Yeah.
There are one or two slightly older supporters, yes, who do vent their feelings every now and again. And of course, you can drink at non-league football as well, so that doesn't help either in terms of keeping the crowd calm. Yeah, and people will apologise if they use poor language or whatever, but basically the fans behind the goal, they stick to it.
Look, finally, Jeremy Skill is probably very much in the family. Good genes, because TalkSport listener Gary Bailey tells us that he's met Ben Corbyn, Jeremy's son. He works at the Watford Academy, and he now runs his own soccer academy.
So, I mean, he does. And Jeremy's very well informed. I mean, he's a gooner. And actually, our original, our original kit was the original Arsenal kit. We found it in 1945, red shirts and white sleeves. We're playing all red now, but it's our 75th anniversary next year, and we're hoping to resurrect that kit. So he's quite, he was happy to talk about City's prospects, Liverpool's prospects, non-league. You know, he's just genuinely interested, and he is well informed about football, and his son, and he's got the family connections as well.
Excellent.
Well, brilliant. Sounds like a great club as well.
Yeah, keep up the good work, Andy. All the best. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks very much. Cheers.
Andy Schofield there, the vice chairman of Whitehawk. FC.
Some great ideas. A bit like the Corinthian Casuals in a certain sense.
Good things going on, haven't they? The referee's a referee. It's not much of a song, is it, for behind the goal? Referee's a referee. It might catch on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Our next guest, I'm guessing it's all been a bit quiet for him recently.
It's incredible.
He is a comedian with a political background. Matt Ford rejoins us. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon. It's always a pleasure to see you both.
It strikes me that the Brexit, the nation despairs, whatever way you voted, whatever you want to happen. Yeah. For you, it's actually been brilliant.
Career-wise, it has, Emotionally, it's been quite tricky. Yeah. But it's provided me with a lot more material than the coalition years did. So I'm sort of perversely grateful for it.
I think it's driving everybody mad, but people are completely compelled by everything that's going on, which is good because you're doing some shows around it, aren't you?
I know,
which is just
really
as well
timed. Cynically timed London dates that have just come on sale after the Supreme Court judgment. But yes, I mean, there is part of me that thinks, well, this is great because for years I was trying to convince people that politics was this fascinating arena that everyone should be excited by, and no one believed me. And now too many people believe me, and I think they'd probably rather it wasn't as exciting as it is. Yeah. But if I'm going to make a career out of political comedy, then periods like this are, they're just endlessly fascinating, whether you agree with them or not.
There was a little feature on the news last night. They went off to Exeter University and spoke to people who just started their degrees. It was their first session on constitutional law.
Oh, my God.
I would think, what a time. What a time and a day to be having your first lesson on that as a fresher. A bit bizarre.
I mean, it is also, and I'm sure there'll be people listening to this up and down the country, it is also just, whatever side you're on, exhausting and infuriating.
Yeah.
And it's not really about whether you'll leave or remain, just, it's become a farce. The whole thing has become, and whatever you're left, right, leave or remain, I think whatever is going on with our government and opposition now, both of them are below the standard that we should expect as a country.
Yeah.
And I just think that it doesn't look like there's any immediate return to a kind of grown-up approach to ruling the country.
Certainly not based on yesterday.
Nobody seems to know which way this will fall, do they, really, eventually?
No, and the part of the problem is that they both enjoy chaos. Corbyn and Johnson are both kind of chaos mongers who think it's best to create chaos and then that's your route to victory, whereas I think most people would rather not live in chaos.
Yeah.
I think that's true. a fairly moderate thing to believe, that chaos is a bad idea.
So the show is Brexit pursued by a bear.
Yeah, it's a pun on a piece of apparently Shakespearean stage direction. Yeah. I mean, it was more that I was running out of Brexit puns and was just typing into these internet search engines things that rhyme with Brexit. And that I came up with that, but it makes it look like I'm some great literary.
Oh, that's good.
So I did very well for you, Edinburgh. So this is the South Bank Centre, Purcell Rooms on the 6th of October, King's Place, 12th of October.
Yeah.
And that, it says here during the suspension of Parliament. But obviously, things move quickly these days.
Well, this is it. I mean, I'm constantly having to rewrite the thing. Yeah. I should say as well, whatever side you're on, it's not a kind of one-sided piece of political invective. It is a Mickey take of all sides. Left, right, Leave, Remain, Labour, Tory, Scottish independence or whatever.
No wonder it's popular.
So that's it. Everyone gets it. So you can come to the show regardless of what side of the fence you're on.
You do some fine political impressions as well, mate, don't you? Do any feature in the show?
Yeah, well, I Boris is obviously, I just want to say, he deserves an honour to be here amongst Greet and learned, honourable, the noble and learned, the honourable member Jacobs, and indeed Hawksby, who I would like to announce are my two latest recruits to Downing Street. I think these two fine men. Come on.
That is horribly close.
Yeah, I think horribly accurate. Sickeningly accurate. Yeah,
You are known for your Trump as well.
He's in the news, Donald, isn't he? Of course, he's in trouble after that phone conversation with the Ukrainian president.
Well, it is an honor to be here, and this and Five Live, which is my favorite radio station. By the way. And I think you guys here at the BBC did great work. I think you're the and this is one of the best, not only the best, by the way, but I think the bigliest show that you can have.
The problem is with them is that I spend so much time watching them.
Yeah.
That I can almost guess what they're going to say about stuff, and I end up doing them around the house. I do my poor girlfriend's head in. We had an argument the other night that I'd been leaving my towel on the bathroom floor. Yeah.
That is not my towel on the bathroom floor. You're fake news, by the way. You can sit down now.
It doesn't go down well.
The Greta Thunberg look. I mean, I think people will be looking to master that for many years to come, but I'm not sure you can. Unless there is pure hatred in your heart, you can't really turn you can't turn that on like a tap.
Oh, there is.
Really?
I don't know. When I think of Derby County or things like that, I can find the hatred.
You can do that face, can you?
I think I can summon it for Richard Keogh.
Oh, dear.
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, golly. Now, I was going to say to you, the world of politics and football collided for you last night because you had a chat with Ken Clark, who's a fellow Forest man.
So I do a podcast called The Political Party where I interview people from across the spectrum in a respectful way in front of an audience to try and, I mean, yeah, I can try and pretend that I set it up to in noble means. I just really enjoy talking to people that I agree and disagree with. Mm. And of course, Ken Clark's been the MP for Rushcliffe in Nottinghamshire since 1970.
Yeah.
So I indulged him a bit, and myself rather, and asked him about Clough. And he had two great stories. Brian Clough was manager of Nottingham Forest, and he would get his, when he was signing these players from abroad, he wouldn't always have visas. He would ring me up when I was Home Secretary. Rather surreal, trying to get visas for Nottingham Forest players. This idea that Clough
being doing that,
an avowed socialist, ringing up a Tory Home Secretary.
Can you help me out?
That's really well.
That's fantastic.
Oh, really?
You might have got Maradona or someone if he'd said yes. You never know. That
Well, imagine.
Yeah.
Forest could have had state backing for a while.
We were just talking about Cluffy off air, but in light of that conversation, and we were very lucky to meet him and interview him. And you were a ball boy at Forest, right?
I was a ball boy. I was a mascot. And I mean, I'm sure I've bored you with this story before, but I was a mascot for one of his last ever games and had really bad eczema on my face.
Right.
And they introduced me to Clough. And the first thing he said to me, he said, "Bloody hell, son, you are an ugly bugger." I'm 10 years old. I said, "What?" He goes, "What have you been doing all afternoon? They're butting pizzas." I said, "No, it's extra, Mr. Cullen. I'm only 10 years old."
Having to defend yourself.
Yeah, times have changed, I think it's fair to say.
I was mad. And then he took me into the physio's office. Nigel Clough and Roy Keane are in there getting a rub down. And he goes, "We got anything for this young man's face?" He gives me this stuff called Betnovate, which is steroid based. I put it on and it cleared it up like that. I go back to my GP. I'm only 10, so I used to have to go to the doctor with my mum.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh God, your eczema's gone. What, have you taken wheat out of your diet or dairy?" I said, "Oh no, I've got some Betnovate." He said, "Where on earth did you get that? They tested it on horses. Don't use it on your face. It can cause skin cancer.
Oh, no.
I said, but Brian Clough gave it me. And he immediately went, you met Brian Clough? And my mum was like, it doesn't matter whether you met Brian Clough. Is his face going to stay on his skull? Or is he going to get skin? What is going on?
Oh, that's
fantastic. Like, oh, what was Cloughy like? I said, well, I'd rather know if the diagnosis is please, doctor.
Imagine Lamucci is he's introduced to one of the mascots this weekend.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen again. Well, good to see you, Matt. Thanks
always
for popping in.
Always a pleasure. Thank you both.
And go and see Matt in action. You can go and see Brexit Pursued by a Bear, as we said. A couple of shows in London, October the 6th. Purcell Rooms on the South Bank, and then King's Place on the 12th of October as well. Matt Ford with an E.com. Well, you know, we don't want to go into the wrong place.
No,
Matt,
right.
Another comic called Matt Ford without an E might sell some tickets. So, Matt
probably
Ford.
Sell more than me.
Yeah. Go and check it out. All the ticket details are there and more. Good to see you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, they got Eddie Howe off the hook. It's their turn in the barrel. Of course, it's West Ham.
Yes.
Giving Spurs clog. At the Kazam, of course, by singing You Lost to a Zoo, which is a very good song, as we said earlier on, so we applaud them for that. But then they lost to a university. And there to witness it is one of our own, Charlie Baker, of course. You'll know from Glory Hunters and his fine show with Max Rushton on a Saturday. And he's in with me next week as Andy's off.
And only one day.
Oh, yeah.
A whole week.
Oh, no, you know, just for one day. That's right. Yeah, like, we could be heroes.
exactly.
And I'm, have the week off if you like. Just relax.
I don't write my week off.
Thanks. Charlie Baker. Hi, Charlie.
I was just clearing my diary for next week.
Yeah. What time can you get in? That's right. So, we know you as a Torquay fan, of course.
Yes, of course, yes.
So, what were you doing at Oxford?
Oh, it's desperate, isn't it? It comes to us all, I think. If you try and be a good parent, you know, it comes to us all. You have to, when your son or daughter says, I want to watch the football, and you've got a big choice to make, do you force them to watch the rubbish you've been watching your whole life? Or do you give them a choice to go to their local team? You know, and so we've been going to Oxford United because my son wants to watch Oxford United because it's where he was born. So I like the thought of it, you know, but we've been going and they are quite good this season. They've scored more goals than anyone in all four divisions. So they scored 10 in their last two games. So
wow.
They're playing really, really well. They're playing a really good brand of football. They've got Jamie Mackey up front causing all sorts of trouble. He's a horrible little player, but he's really, really good.
He's Andy's old neighbour, Charlie.
Yeah, he's a very nice man.
Oh, that's nice man, was he?
Yeah, very nice man.
He said, actually, he did say that. You've still got his mower.
So,
no, what did West Ham? West Ham, first half, they were fine, absolutely fine. I mean, they're having some success down the left hand side. But then the second half, it's like they couldn't be bothered, to be honest. It was like they couldn't be bothered. And as soon as Oxford got two ahead, West Ham stopped playing. Snodgrass looked unfit. Wilshire looked all sorts of unfit.
Yeah.
Zabaleta looked massively off it. Their sub goalkeeper never made Adrian look so good in his life. He nearly scored an own goal. The sub keeper looked bad on every single shot coming into the box. You know, sometimes you feel like they want to get out.
Yeah.
You just feel like that sometimes. They don't want to be. I don't know if it was the same with Spurs, Paul, but you look at it sometimes and you think they want to be out of this.
Yeah.
United, I don't know. I think Spurs tried to win. I'm not sure West Ham, by the sound of it, didn't do much of a job. What about Oxford, though? That must be great for them.
Oh, it's great. It is great for them. They're 10,500 there last night in a three-sided stand that holds 11,000. So it's brilliant for them. And they've got some really good players at the moment. I think they're going to give League One a good go. They're quite a big team, really. So when you take your son to watch his local team and they're playing exciting football and scoring loads of goals, suddenly, hopefully, it puts a passion in him for life. But I will say, for the first goal, he was off getting a burger and he missed it. So there's a life lesson learned, isn't it? There's a life lesson. Yeah, he won't do that again, will he?
That's how the kids learn. So is this because his mates are Oxford fans at school and then they've got, so that's how he's got into it?
No, not really. Not really. I've always preached to him the joy of supporting your local team from where you were born, how it just adds something to it. Because he used to be Arsenal fan. So I'd take him to Arsenal and, you know, he was a sort of 8, 9, 10-year-old. And I'd take him there now and again. Couldn't really afford it a lot. So we wouldn't go a lot. But now, what was it last night? It was £27 for us last night. So it's £20 adults, £7 kids. Right. So we can go as many times as we like. We went to Coventry City the other week and it was 3-3. And the one Coventry City player scored 2 own goals. Same player.
That's great. What a great afternoon.
So you see all that sort of level of stuff as well. And there's some excitement built in, bit of a cup run. But it's just that passion of it being your local team, which, you know, I'm a huge Torquay United fan. It's where I'm from. I've not always lived in Torquay. I lived in Torquay the first 18 years of my life. But just to support your local team, it adds something. It gives you that tribal feeling that takes it above just merely liking football.
Yeah. I mean, at least they wear yellow from your point of view. There is a similarity in the kit, isn't there? That is the thing.
I do sit there going, when they're singing Robinson's Yellow Army, I do sneak in Gary Johnson's Yellow Army.
Of course you do.
and I did look up Torquay United's, I looked up their record against West Ham last night just to see if I could. And we have a 100% record against them.
Oh.
Having beaten them 1-0 in 1990 in the FA Cup.
That's very impressive.
John Bond, he's a Torquay West Ham connection.
Yeah, that's nice.
Oh, is he there? Oh, that's nice. Beautifully that's a nice done.
Kevin Bond's dad, isn't he, John Bond?
Yeah, of course he is, yeah. Gone up there and deserved it.
Very nice.
It. Yeah.
There we are. But we had a great evening and he loves it. I just wish they'd put an end on the ground, but that's all sorts of politics going on there. But he loves it and he's into his. He much prefers it to go into Arsenal. And also, you know, he's 12, was he 12? So soon he can go up there on his own, get him a season ticket, go with his mates, go on his own. So.
That's it. Yeah fantastic. Great. The finally, our producer and your podcast co-host, John Cardigan, was telling us yesterday that, I mean, remind me of my, there's a song that Charlie has been singing around one of your players, isn't it? Or the theme tune to a TV show.
Is it Clean?
Is it, or something like that? What's it?
We've got a player called Manny Duku, who we've signed on loan. We're not on loan. We've signed him. He's come to us from a higher division, with much fanfare, and he cannot hit a barn door at the moment. Unfortunately, he will do a bit. I mean, I'm probably, if he's listening now.
Poor lad, you're a sports psychologist. Really, it was Ben Whitfield, Charlie.
Ben Whitfield.
And what do you do when Ben Whitfield scores? I bet you're singing that alone, aren't you?
Terry and Ben.
Not a lot of June. You've seen my galoshes. The boss is coming over, Terry.
Yeah, Medford. Yeah, that's it.
Yes. No, yes, but Manny Duku, we've tried to get. Oh, Manny, you came and you played without scoring. we tried to get that going, but none of it. You ever got a song going? I've never got song going.
No, but I remember when we used to watch Medvedev. We used to do it like Medvedev.
Yeah, he used to like the bloke who used to be Terry's boss.
Nice. That's Andy. That's very funny. Yeah. Have you one for the kids?
If you're trying to get a song going for the first time and no one joins in, it must be a terrible moment. Everybody just sort of looks at you. It must be really difficult.
How do people get it going? They all meet up now, don't they? Or get it going on YouTube?
Yeah, they probably do. They do a bit of work. They do a bit of work.
Right, I'm going to sing Pesky Solido to the tune of D-I-S-C-O. So everybody know it. Here we go. 2, 3, 4.
But then I'll sort of hang them out to dry. You say, we're all definitely going to do it. You would definitely. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, and then they're on their own.
Just I've told you many times, I'm sure, on your programme, you know, when they spell out the name of the team.
Yeah.
I've been to the Torquay away end when someone was so drunk that they got it going and spelt Torquay wrong. I've said it many times before. They got the Q and the U the wrong way around, which is very difficult, you know.
Yeah, that does take some doing. Charlie, exactly. you're back on Saturday with Matt.
Yes, Saturday mornings, 9 till 11.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's a really good show.
Game day warm-up. Oh, thanks, Andy. Thanks. It's the game day warm-up, and we do favourite service stations alongside other things. We have a pretty impossible commentary game as well at the moment, which no one has so far got right. So that's always good fun.
Joke of the week, I like as well.
I'm allowed one joke an hour.
That's it.
And then you've got Mr. Parry in Glory Hunters.
Yes, Mike Parry. I don't like calling him Porky, and we discussed that on the show this week because I don't know him well enough, and it feels like bullying.
Right. Okay.
So I discussed with him whether he feels like it's bullying as well. Anyway, Mike Parry is on Glory Hunters this week, which is 9:30 till 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and it's a quiz, a football quiz.
Mm, yeah.
We're all having a very nice time on it. So
excellent.
Try and tune into that as well. And I'll see you Monday.
I will, Charlie. Yeah, Andy's off Monday, so Charlie alongside me. All the best, Charlie. Thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Right, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Who's the world-famous teenager whose name is on everyone's lips?
World-famous teenager?
Climate protester.
Greta, I was with you, didn't
Full name.
Thunberg.
That's right. Not according to Shannon, who wrote to The Star.
Okay, yeah.
Silly teen Greta Gunberg.
Surely the sub should have checked that, shouldn't they?
Oh, they never sub the letters. When I said, if I get a mistake in one of my letters, they
don't tell them you keep writing letters,
it's
Andy.
Fine. Don't worry about it.
It's your alter ego.
It's my alter ego. It's not me.
Yeah.
What else?
We should salute one of the great England cricketers, Marcus Trescothick, a fantastic player.
Oh yes,
amazing career.
Really had a very nice piece with Michael Atherton in the Times this morning. 27 seasons. Tremendous. What a great cricketer he's been.
Yeah. We of course, we recall him with great love here on TalkSport. And Alan did have a bit of a problem with his name, didn't he, back in the day?
He did, yeah.
Good morning, 7:32. Now, Kevin Pearson's look set to miss out on England's touring squad to India this summer. And yesterday's former teammate, Marcus Trescothick, was asked whether KP should be in the squad.
Stung on the tongue by a bee there. Deeper depth.
There's another one where he can't say it, though. I'm not sure that's the original.
Do you think there was a worse one?
There's a worse one where he's struggling with the name.
I always remember forgetting a bit like that.
Not good.
He sounded young there, Alan.
Even Alan said, I was listening this morning, he said, I heard a clip of me the other day, I sounded so young. You were.
The one where he sounds the youngest every Christmas is the guy that... Hello, Alan, as a fellow Celt. he sounds about 12 there.
He does, actually. Yeah. Talking of names, the 4 o'clock at, where is it, Pontefract today, is the Simon Scrope.
That was close.
I know. Simon Scrope Dolby Screwdriver Handicap.
Oh,
I can't work out if it's Simon Scrope and it's a Dolby Screwdriver, or it's Simon Scrope Dolby Screwdriver.
Is there a hyphen between Scrope and Dolby?
No, a hyphen between screw and driver, which is even more confusing.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Wow, this is the Johnny Nash situation. More questions than answers.
And it's,
maybe Simon Scrope. I've got to be so careful how I say that. Maybe he's going to get in touch with us and let us know.
Some of our conversations in the morning are mad when we speak to each other about what we're going to put on the show. And I said to you today, it's the UK National Giant Vegetable Championships this weekend. You went, no, I prefer to do a review rather than a preview.
Yeah, I don't want
a
preview. I want to know what veg was on show and how big it was. I don't want to talk about what might turn up. I mean, what's the point of that?
It's in Malvern in Worcestershire.
It's that same bloke who always wins it. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
That fella, we have him on every year. He's got a marrow the size of a double-decker bus, isn't he?
What were you going to say
there? And a sort of carrot. It's just like a cricket bat.
Yeah, it's leeks, pumpkins and onions, apparently. I'm sure marrows will be involved.
Pumpkins and onions.
The Malvern show in Worcester. But I found, I was looking through the birthdays to see if there are any birthday spreads, and I didn't find any, but one bloke I thought would be brilliant to judge the UK National Giant Vegetable Championships is Professor Sir Keith Onions.
Oh, that's good.
Onions. Mm. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when people do that, O-N-I-O-N-S.
It's Nicky Banger, isn't it? It's all over again, it's Nicky
onions.
Banger.
Sir Keith Onions.
Yeah, exactly. And anybody called, there's no one called Diath. You know you're called death.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it. Just live.
And well done to the ECB for arranging the denouement to the brilliant county championship season in this period of the year with the worst weather.
Yeah, what tremendous. Is it? Yeah. Essex will probably be confirmed today, won't it, with all the weather.
Much rather it all Essex happened on the pitch the rather than sitting in the pavilion watching the rain come down, but there you go.
I'm now being inundated with marketing from The 100.
How are you?
Building up to the auction in a few weeks' time.
I'm quite excited about the auction. I just think watching that brilliant
T20
final the other day, you just think, what are you doing? You don't need this. This is such a brilliant tournament. But there you go. They've committed to it. It's going to cost them a lot of money.
Let's hope they're right. Hey.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
And now the royal couple, they're on a holiday, or it's not really a holiday, it's an official trip to South Africa, and they're taking the baby, and the baby's going down in a storm, as babies often do, because they're so cute. But I love the way that the people talk about babies, the royal family's babies, as if they're slightly different from normal babies.
Yeah.
So this was reported today. Harry said, he's so busy, he's constantly wanting to stand. He's a baby, that's what they do. And Meghan appears to have a cute nickname for her son. She referred to Archie a number of times as Bubba, as she cooed over him. Well, who doesn't do that when you've got a baby in front of you? It's incredible, isn't it? Honestly, it's brilliant. Just a baby. Get used to it. There you go.
It's just a baby. But not when it's your baby. Now, a story we didn't get round to doing the other day, which was fantastic, involves Sheila Pereira. Now, not a name you'd obviously know.
Quite a football name. Yeah.
She likes to run. She likes going for a run now and again, Sheila. She lives in Worcester, Massachusetts. So when she saw that there was a Worcester half marathon going on, she thought, oh, terrific. I'll sign up, have a bit of a run, be home for tea. Trouble is... it was Worcester here, not Worcester there.
Okay.
So, she had two options.
Worcester in Worcestershire.
Yeah, that's right. So she could fly from Massachusetts to Worcestershire and run 13.1 miles.
Mm.
Or she could come up with something. And because it was an honest mistake, the organisers of the event allowed her to do 13.1 miles on the same day as the UK race in Worcester, Massachusetts.
I think that's a very nice thing to do.
So that's pretty impressive. Steve Cram saw the funny side. He was one of the organisers. And he said, we'd like her to come over maybe next year.
That'd be nice.
Nice story that was.
Now, the Times diary is always good. It always has a few little sport. It's a very good diary anyway, but it always has a few sporting stories in. And today, they've got a little piece about Dick Francis, the great jockey.
And author.
Author, that's right, horse racing author. And for all his success, it says Francis is probably best known for his the collapse of Devon Lock, owned by the Queen Mother in the 1956 Grand National. And the calamity was mocked at the time by Francis's son, Felix, who recalls galloping around their living room on all fours, shouting, I'm Devon Lock, before suddenly thrusting out his limbs and falling to the ground with a cry of, down I go.
Yeah, it's only your dad's living, Felix. Don't worry about that.
But the Queen Mother, they go on to say, that's racing, sighed the Queen Mother at Devon Lock's fall. She remained a lover of the turf. Felix added, I'm sure she's up there now reading The Sporting Afterlife.
That's clever.
That's clever, isn't it?
That's clever. Yeah, that's good stuff. Didn't Felix then continue, one of his sons continued writing the books, didn't he? Kind of, I think,
really?
picked up the old mantle and kept writing in the style of the old man. I have not seen them. Okay, fair enough.
As they say.
Is it a sport, is the question we often ask ourselves, me and Andy, as we did this morning when we looked at the World Cocktail Making Championships.
As I said to you, it's in the mix.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And you said you were talking about the semi-finals. You couldn't resist it, could you? Who's going to be there in the shake-up, you said?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You were on fire this morning.
Oh, yeah, tremendous.
Quite terrible on here. Brilliant off it.
Oh, that's not true. Terrible on both on and off. I'm only kidding.
So last week we tried to get in touch with James Linnett because he is Britain's first winner of the World Gold Panning Championships.
Yes.
Is gold panning a sport?
Well, I'd say it is. It's physical. You're up against other gold panners.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, okay, you could say that about anything, though, couldn't you?
You could,
really, yeah. But
how does it work? Surely it's slightly pointless. They've got to, I would imagine they've got to plant the gold because, you know, where would you go that you'd be guaranteed? Klondike.
It was in Finland.
Is Finland a big gold mining area?
Well, I doubt if it's just lying around in the streets. Otherwise, we'd all be in Finland, wouldn't we, really?
Probably would, yeah.
Does he keep what he pans? He keeps what he pans. They were all singing that to him last night, yeah. I don't know if Auntie Naomi
took part in it. Oh, no, he's not finished.
He's not finished. Of course he isn't.
And I do like names that are appropriate names. There's a word for this, isn't it, when something's name appropriate?
Oh, yeah.
But there's a weather outlook forecaster called Brian Gaze. That's good, you know. Well, that's what you do, isn't it, when you're looking to see what the weather's like.
Yeah, I can't immediately see that, Andy.
Brian Gaze.
I'm not Brian.
G-A-Z-E.
Yeah, if it was Brian Sunshine or Brian.
Brian Forecast.
Brian
Seaward.
We had a goalkeeper named Forecast at the Lane a while.
Did you?
That was his surname, yeah.
Forecast?
Forecast was his surname, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember what his first name was now. Somebody's shouting it at their radio.
Bert Ford?
I'm sure. Forecast. Let me put it in. Forecast goalkeeper. He'll come up.
But he's John Kettley's favourite keeper.
Working.
Yeah, well, he should have played for Burnley.
Tommy Forecast. Yeah, started his career at Spurs. There we are.
How do you feel his career will go?
Well, at the time, well, you know, there was the.
Sorry. Yeah. Looking at a photo of Silvio Berlusconi, former owner of Milan and Italian Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Not the plumber, obviously.
Quite an eventful life.
And it has been a very...
Do you ever go to one of his parties, Andy?
I have.
Never
actually.
Invited.
We do have something in common, though, me and Silvio.
I bet you do.
Because in this photo, he was using a compact. He's the only other man I know who uses foundation.
You're very brave to say that. Andy's one of the few people I know that often he'll carry around... You think you get a bit of a shot. You're not a sweaty man generally.
Well, I can be. I've never noticed you shiny. It's not so much perspiration. It's just I've got shiny skin. I mean, some people have dry skin.
You haven't got...
Some people have oily skin.
Have you ever noticed... I'm looking at the producer. I've not noticed the shiny skin.
Oh, I think so. With my sort of virtually bald pate, I can be quite... You can see me for miles.
They should be rubbing your head on the rugby balls. In Japan to get used to the slippery conditions.
Yes. So, I don't use it all the time. Only, for example, say...
You know, butt the ball turkey,
if a camera crew turns up, I like to be ready.
It's got a man who's always ready in case he's suddenly going to be filmed.
You never know, there might be a Vox Pops in the street.
Who lives their life like that?
It sounds like Lloyd Grossman.
Yeah. Who lives their life? Anyway, we move on.
Nobody, yeah. I didn't get to page two, which was good.
Okay, well, that's, you've got that for another day then when the phones go down or whatever. So
I've got one on page three the producer's dying to know about.
Okay, really? Do you want to tell us what it is? Just tease it.
Oh, yes.
Can't actually, find the page now. What is it? What does it say?
Was it the pensioner is a world champion at throwing himself out of a plane? Mr. Kipling.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Oh, what about Mr. Kipling? Kipling. He makes cakes, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Morbidly obese woman ate 4 packets of Mr. Kipling cakes every day.
Okay.
Well, it's not surprising, really. I'll do it to you, really. They're good in themselves, like one.
The producer had just said, not as good as I thought. Everyone's a critic.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. What a corking story from Matt about Cluffy. That's a sensation, isn't
Very
it?
Very good.
I don't think the football manager would do that these days, but he was a complete one-off. Anyway, we're back tomorrow. Jeff Shreve from Sky pops in. We'll have Motti here, Clips of the Week, and lots more. Thanks for downloading.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.